Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Thank you, visitors, for being here. I heard that he recognized several of the visitors. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for choosing Father's Vineyard. We do so many things different here. You bound a lot, one of them. Amen. We just like being what Jesus wants us to be. Amen. Well, today, you might know what today is other than Sunday. Vacation Bible School. That is awesome. That's not the right answer I was looking for, but that is the truth. It starts tonight, and I'm just so excited about it. I really am. But today is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pentecost Sunday is an extremely, extremely important day for the believer. If you're a believer, wave at me. You're a believer in Christ, wave at me. Extremely important. This day is extremely important to you and to me. Pentecost was 50 days after his resurrection. From the day of his resurrection, Pentecost was 50 days. Jesus was beaten terribly, died, buried, and rose again. And on the day that he rose again, that 50 days beyond that, Pentecost, and we'll get into that in just a moment. It's just going to be a sermonette before I get into the main message. But on the day of his resurrection in John 20, 22, he came to his disciples on the day of his resurrection, and he breathed. He breathed upon them. All of his disciples, and he said this, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. That is the indwelling. They took his breath in. That was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within him. And when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. We breathe in who he is. And he is there eternally. You know, we're born again of an incorruptible seed. Is that important to you? Why is that? It can never be corrupted. The seed that you've been born with, the seed of the Holy Spirit, is not corruptible. Ever. Ever. Incorruptible seed. Man, I'll tell you what, I think about that sometimes, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, he breathed upon them, and their spiritual condition radically changed from that point on. They used to be fussing about who's going to sit beside him. Which one's greater, me or you? You know, I think I'm greater than you are. But no, it went from contention to unity because they had received the Holy Spirit. Well, that was the day of his resurrection, and over the next 40 days, he appeared on and off to the disciples and to others. And in one appearance, he came to the disciples and he said, behold, I want you to take notice. I want you to look up, take notice. And what do you want to notice? I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, he's already breathed in them. You hear me? They already have the Holy Spirit. But he said, behold, I want you to take notice. I'm going to send you the promise of the Spirit. I'm going to send you the promise of the Father upon you. And he says, now I want you to wait in this city. Don't you leave the city. I want you to wait in the city. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, until you are clothed with power. Everybody say, with power. Clothed with the power on high. See, the church, a lot of times, we can know a lot of things and do a lot of things, but if we are lacking power, for others to see and for others to tangibly touch, then we're not fulfilling the full obligation that Jesus said that we need to be on the earth. So we need to be clothed. We need to be endued with the power. So on the 40th day, he came to his disciples again, and he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the Father's promise. Wait. And you shall be baptized. Everybody say the word baptized. And you shall be baptized. Baptized. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days from here. So Jesus is doing a lot of things here that a lot of times we get it a little bit mixed up. They already have the Holy Spirit. Jesus has said there's a promise that came from the Father. He said, I'm sending it to you. You're going to get it. And they said, and I want you to wait. I want you to wait for the time to come, because you are going to receive the promise. You're going to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said this, I baptize with water. But there's one following me, one that's behind me, greater than me. And he's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So that's the baptism that Jesus does. So we need to see this. And then he says over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he said, you shall receive, you shall take in. By the way, when he breathed and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, that word receive means to take in. Take in what I'm giving you. Take in what I'm giving you. But then in this one, he says, you shall receive, you shall take in power. Take in power. How's that going to happen? And he says this, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he's already in you, but when he comes upon you, take it in. Take in the power. See, he does not want his church. Matter of fact, he's building his church. Anybody else doing the building? I don't know what they're building. Or we build it if we're trying to build it without Jesus. Jesus is the builder of the church. He's the one. And he's the one that said, look, I've already paid the price, and you have the Spirit within you now. And every one of you that's been born again, you have the Spirit of God, the incorruptible seed of God within you. You don't have a little bit of Jesus, you've got all of him. When I get good enough, you'll never reach it. He's already made you good enough. We may be imperfect in our walk, in our soul, in our mind, in our will, and emotions, but he's made you good enough. He's already performed the work to complete you and I. Matter of fact, he said, we are complete in Christ, and we are seated. Listen, I'm amazed at this. We are seated with Christ. We're seated with him in the heavens. I am. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. Yeah, we're on this earth, but he says, you're already seated. You already have your place in heaven. And one day, we will leave this body and enter into heaven and be with him forever and ever and ever. But we're already seated there. I really have trouble with people talk about, say, well, I did this today, so, I don't know about my relationship with God. Well, you might not know about the relationship other than the fact that you're his. I think they did this, so I know that they won't be saved after doing that. I can see it now, can't you? We're already seated. I can see it now. We mess up. Did that leave anybody out? We mess up. I can see it now. God telling Jesus, I can go over and tell Terry he messed up now. He's going to have to give up his seat. Mm-mm. I'm already completed. I'm being perfected, but I'm already complete in him. Amen. Amen. But see, he wants his church to be powerful, not just religious. We can have all the religion in the world and not be powerful and not really be in relationship with him. So anyway, he says, take in this power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Oh, does that mean we're going to be able to go and tell people? Yes, but that's not the depth of what that means. Well, Pastor, what is the depth of what that means? That word witness means martyr. Not mortar. Got me? Martyr. What does that mean? Be willing to give your life up. In other words, this Holy Spirit coming upon us will empower us to lay, just like the singer was saying today, lay down your life for others. You'll be able to lay down our life for Christ. He said, I'll give you the power to be able to do that. Yeah. How many of you want that power? You get that? So he says it, all right. He said, and you'll be able to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even into the remotest parts of the earth. Then in verse 9 he says, and after he said these things, he was lifted up. All of a sudden, he started rising up. Y'all get the picture? All of a sudden, he starts rising up. And the clouds receive him. He's lifted up into the clouds. And the clouds received him, and he became out of their sight. Somebody told me one day, said, you know, I think the elevation thing is of the devil. And I said, well, some of it may be, but I know one that's not. You hear me? Because he was lifted up. Clouds received him, and out of his sight. And they just stood there gawking, looking. So where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? So all of this began to happen, and then it was 10 days later became Pentecost. So it was already 40 days, and then 10 days. Now it's 50 days. And on that day, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost came, and they were all in one accord. It was all in one Honda, right? All right. Now, know what it means, Pastor. Okay, I'll get back on track. It was all in one accord in one place. So instead of all the contention, it was all in one accord and in one place. And we need to understand that when that happens, no more contention. We're in one accord. We've got one frame of mind. See, they waited for 10 days and prayed for 10 days. By the way, he told 500. 120 came. Do you hear me? So do you want to be part of that 120? Or do you want to be part of the others that said, I just got too much to do, got too much going on? 120 people came, 500 were told. And suddenly there from a noise from heaven was like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole place, the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves upon each one of them. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, filled the house. And it filled them. Two different words. Same English word. Two different words in Greek. It filled the house means it leveled up and removed the emptiness. It leveled up. It crammed in. The tongues of fire. Filled up. Leveled up. Leveled off. And then he said, and when it landed above them, they were filled. They were filled. Now, that's not level up. That means to saturate, to be saturated with, to be saturated with and influenced. Holy Spirit coming upon us means that we are being saturated with the Holy Spirit and influenced by the Holy Spirit with our actions to others. See, he is in me, the indwelling. He is in you and I for us. He is upon you and I for others. That's the reason we need that baptism. You hear me? So Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Spirit. And they go on and says, and tongues of fire rested upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. I wonder why they started speaking in tongues. Because tongues was the thing that they needed to be empowered with. The tongues like fire, fire like tongues. Now, does that make sense? Sure it does, because he said, in verse 5 it says, but let me finish. And they started speaking in tongues as, this is extremely important, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You hear me? As the Spirit influenced them, they've been saturated with, the Spirit influenced them upon them to be able to speak in another tongue. Now, is this unknown tongues? Nope. No, it's not. The church wants to, some part of the church wants to say that's what that is, but it isn't. And the Bible proves that it isn't, because it goes on and says there were Jews that was living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, a multitude of these men came together. It got their attention. They heard the sound. It's like an inside windstorm. Not outside. It was like an inside windstorm. It was like, they could hear it. It said they heard the sound, and it occurred, and a multitude came together. They were bewildered. That's when they got bewildered and awestruck, because they were each one hearing them speak, hearing the disciples speak in their own language. So what was the tongue? Known languages that they did not know. Known languages, other languages that the disciples had not been taught nor learned. Why? It came from the Holy Spirit. It goes on and it says, we're amazed and we're marveled. So why are all of these doing this when they're Galileans? And he said, how is it that each one of us hears our own language in the land that we were born in? Their birth language was being spoken by a person that had never learned that language. What did they need? They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do the ministry that they have been sent to do. Now, how does that work for us? We're here. We've got Jesus. We've got the Holy Spirit. Is Pentecost important to us? The day of Pentecost, is it important to us? Absolutely. Why? Because that is where the church is empowered. We have him. We're going to heaven. He's in us. We're going to heaven. Somebody said it's like that saying at one time. One evangelist said, "You know, who wants to go to heaven?" Everybody raised their hand, but one man. And that puzzled him a little bit. And he said, "Sir, I noticed you didn't raise your hand." He said, "Well, no, I didn't." He said, "Well, did you understand the question?" He said, "I did." You know, I said, "What was the question?" He said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, raise your hand." He said, "But you didn't raise your hand." He said, "Well, I thought you was getting up a busload now." So here's the thing about it. He said, these men are supposed to speak another language, but they're speaking ours. So the miracle that they needed was to hear the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking through unlearned men, uneducated men, because the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, knows how to cross every boundary, every dividing point, he can cross everything. Nothing too hard for him. What does he need? You and I. He's looking for you and I. He's looking for you and I to say, yes, thank you for my salvation. Yes, thank you for being inside me. Thank you so much. Now he's looking to say, okay, baptize me, Lord. Now, we had a wonderful baptism today in water baptism, signifying the old man is dead, a new man rises. Amen? But see, Jesus baptizes, and he said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and you'll have power, and you'll have fire. You'll have the passion that it takes to do everything I want you to do. So Pentecost is extremely important. Extremely important. Don't you think so? Extremely important. How many of you are ready to say, you know, I'm tired of this mediocre life, mediocre thing that's happened to me in Christianity? Not supposed to be that way. Well, most of the time it's because of the lack of power. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going around going, doesn't mean that at all. Because you can't miss. As the Holy Spirit gave them the release to do it, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we're around sick people or around somebody that needs to be prayed for, needs healing, that needs deliverance. Have you ever run across anybody that needed to be delivered? I'm not talking about delivered from sin. I'm talking about delivered from drugs, from alcohol. Are you with me? Delivered from all kind of different things. There was a lady that called the healing rooms that recently, and she lives way off, and she said that I need prayer. So what do you need? My wife Brenda, she was talking. So what do you need prayer for? She said, I got demons. They're harassing me. So what does she need? She needs deliverance. And she said, and the lady said, is there a bus that y'all know of that comes our way? And she's about 4 hours away. The bus that comes our way, my way, that can take us down. And Brent said, we don't need a bus. We don't? No, we don't need a bus. The power of God's right here, right now. And begin to minister to her and begin to do deliverance over the phone. Do you hear me? Well, what happened? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit being upon her, all of a sudden she releases that power that God has put inside her that is to be able to help others. That is to be able to free others and allow them to be able to do what it is that they're supposed to do. Now, my question is, does that work everywhere else? Or is he selectively pick and choose only this and only that? No, it's when he gives utterance, when he gives release. That's the reason we don't go around and trying to make things happen. See, a lot of times we try to make God do something. Well, how does that work for you? I'm going to make him do something. I'm going to make him do this. I'm going to make him straighten out my kids. And God says, okay, you're the daddy. I made you the daddy and you the mama. That's the straightener outer. Get at it. Go to work. But see, he didn't send you without what? Empowerment. Without the power of the Holy Spirit to go do it. How many of you have ever needed the Holy Spirit in your life working and you're dealing with your youngins? All right. Now, we don't have bad youngins. You know what I'm saying? We don't have bad youngins. For you that don't know what youngins are, that's children. You know, bad. So you begin to see that our life is in need of him in us. and we can live out what he's put in. And then the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon us is able to minister when it's time to minister. When it's time to minister, we need to understand, hey, look, I have received the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. So we can't look, wait a minute. Anyway. I remember a witch came to the office one day. Did you say a witch? I said, yeah. A witch came to the office one day. And I got a phone call. I was eating lunch, and I got a phone call from Rita. You got to get over here, and you got to get over here fast. I said, okay. There's a witch here. I ain't got nothing else to say. You got to get over here fast. So I leave. I paid for my lunch that I didn't eat, and I gave him a tip and left and came over here. And can you see it now? Got a witch at the office. What am I going to do? No, I didn't do that. My flesh wanted to. But what I did, I said, Lord, you've given us an opportunity to bring freedom to another person. Excuse me. You've given us the opportunity to bring light into darkness. And we got here, and Rita and Janet, I think Janet was here then, and I said, where is she? She's back there. So I went and got her, and she didn't just say she was that part. She looked that part. Her hair was like, you know, like she'd stuck her hand into a light socket or something. You know, now, I just had looks. I said, how can I help you today? Got her name. How can I help you today? And she said, I'm a witch. I said, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Now we're at a standoff. And then she goes into this thing. She said, no, I'm really a witch. I can set that. We had a brass pineapple. I can set that on fire. I said, you can? She said, yeah. And I said, well, the power that is in me is greater than the power that you're following. She said, what does that mean? I said, that means you can't set that on fire here. She said, what? I said, that means that you can't set that on fire here. You might set that on fire somewhere else, but you won't do that here. And anyway, so the story goes on, you know, and she strains and does all this, and hair gets longer, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Not really. You know, but she's doing the strain, she's doing all that, and I said, need a match? No, I don't need any external services, external things to help. And I said, neither do I, but the internal inside me, the Jesus inside me, is much greater than whatever that you are practicing. And I said, now he died, he paid the price for me, but he did the same thing for you. And I said the word Jesus, and she let out a scream that was like, you know, it was bad. And I said, no, you don't have to scream. You don't have to scream. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. But anyway, the story goes on, and I ask her about receiving the Lord, but I don't have time for that. And I said, you may not today, but you will. So anytime you're ready, I'm here. I'm here anytime you're ready. I said, Jesus loves you, and I do too. And I actually reached over. She got up, and I actually reached over and embraced her. And just gave her a big hug. And as I was hugging her, she stood like a tree, like that. And I said, Jesus loves you more than you'll ever know. And he has told me to love you as well. And I do love you. And you're welcome to come back anytime you want. And that you could say she was melting, like sort of like the Wizard of Oz. She's, I'm melting, you know. But But anyway, you begin to see, but once again, why did I tell you that story? Because the reality of things happening is when we need the power, we need the power. I was in Ingles one day, and there was a loud noise that came through the door. I was at checkout, loud noise that came through the door, and it sounded like an airplane had crashed to me. It was, and I said, what in the world was that? And I see this man walking, and he's walking like a trooper, like boom, boom, boom. And I'm at the checkout, and he could go around and get in line, but he came right by me, pushed me with his body, pushed me like that, bumped me with his body, turned around and put his chest right here on my shoulder. It went whoop, and right against my shoulder. And little 20-something-year-old was at the cash register, and they was going. They thought there was going to be a fight. And out of this man comes a voice that says, I'm here. It wasn't I'm here. I'm here. I can either go, he's here. I can either say, oh, no, wait. I won't be here long. You know, I didn't do none of that. I looked at him, he was right here. I looked at him and I said, not for long. And I looked at him and I said, move back. And so help me. The man, he probably did the moonwalk. He slid. It looked like he just slid back about 3 feet, just like zzz, just like that. And I looked at the guy and I said, how much do I owe you? He's like, how long are you going to be here? That's exactly what I said. How long are you going to be here? I said, I'm about to leave, you know. And he said, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. And I said, I'm not going to leave till I get the change. He said, it might be a while, you know. But anyway, he gives me the change, you know, and says, what am I going to do? And I said, listen, are you a Christian? He said, yeah. And I said, Jesus is going to take care of you. I said, Holy Spirit's inside you. I said, you can do the same thing I did. Just say, move back. Okay. So anyway, we left and everything. But see, I didn't know I was going to encounter that. I never know when that's going to happen. You know, I got in the car and I said, Lord, is there anything else I'm supposed to do? You know, and I didn't really know. But I sat there for a minute and saw the guy come out. And I said, do I need to go talk to him? But never had the leading to go talk to him. That was for another time, another day, another person. Never saw the man again. So what I'm telling you today, I don't know what we're gonna face in the coming days. But I do know this: the Bible tells us, gross darkness, not just darkness, gross darkness will cover the earth, and darkness will cover the understanding of people. That they won't even have the clarity to be able to understand what's going on. That's what's coming. But see, he didn't leave us. He didn't leave us that way. He said, but you are to arise and shine. For the Lord is upon you. Great is our light, enough to be able to influence nations, kings. Arise and shine. Why? Great darkness. I have a light, and it always shines. It shines in the day, shines in the night. When the dark days come, and the sun isn't bright, I will be shining, because I have a light. The light is my Lord. Jesus by day. The light is the Spirit who leads me to change. I'm telling you, the day of Pentecost is upon us. It's right here. And the Lord is stirring our hearts to be able to say, you need to arise. You need to shine. You need to show forth the glory that I've given. Jesus said, as the Father has glorified me, has given me glory, he said, I give it to you. I give to you. And he sent us. See, Moses said, show me your glory. And you know what he showed him? He hid him. He hid him in the cleft of a rock. You know what he showed him? His character, his compassion, his patience, his long suffering. So what was he showing? He was showing his glory. See, we want to say the glory is just this brilliant light, and all this kind of stuff. No, that's not his glory. His glory is his character. His glory is his character. That's the reason we are to become Christ-like, so we can show forth the glory of God. And be in any situation. See, and it was like those two stories that I told. It's like those two things. As the Spirit gave me release, I was able to be released in power. I didn't walk in like a powerful person. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's a problem. That's a problem. A lot of us, we'll try to get puffed up. Puff ourselves up and act like we something. We're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. That's the reason I don't like pumped up church. Are you hearing me? I don't like pumped up church. Pumped up church is like balloons. You can pump them up for a little bit, blah, 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 and they're going everywhere. And then all of a sudden, service is over. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with excitement. Nothing wrong with excitement. But there is something wrong with manipulation. It's the same thing as witchcraft. Trying to, have you ever been pumped up for something? Yeah. It'll fizzle. The results of that is fizzle. See, the reality is who he is, who we are, being demonstrated as he moves upon our lives to demonstrate it. I don't know where you're going to be. You might be in a store. You might be out in the field. You might be out on a tractor. I really don't know where it is. When the Lord comes upon you and begins to tell you, he begins to show you and begins to say, you need to go do this. Has anybody in here ever stopped doing something because somebody came across your mind or a thought came across your mind and you needed to quit what you was doing to be able to go call them or go see them? Anybody? Has that happened to anybody in here? Wave at me. And why is that? The Holy Spirit. In me for me, upon me for others. It's like this thing said, okay, if things happen, and the Lord uses us, there's no need in getting the big head. That's what happens to a lot of people, a lot of ministers. You know, something will happen, you know, and that's really what happens a lot of times when they used to, a lot of people would come to the altar and so help me. I'm here to tell you the truth. Something happens sometimes that they'd pray for them and they'd go, whoop. They'd pray for another one and go, whoop. You know, why? Thought so they'll fall back. They'll push them back. Are you hearing me? That happens. That has happened. It happens. Why is that? I don't look like I've got power unless they fall. Oh, my goodness. It ain't about you. So See, the problem is you push them down. You push them down and they don't fall because of the Spirit. You push them down because you've knocked them over. And what happens is they may lay there for five minutes and they're going to get back up and do what? Same thing they did before they fell, before you pushed them. Why? Because it wasn't genuine, it wasn't real. Manufactured. We had some ministers one time years and years ago that they were here ministering and I was associate pastor and that area there was rooms. It's been a long time ago, but anyway they were pushing people down. Well, it came to pastor's knowledge that they pushed them down while they're praying for them, and pastor lovingly came to me as an associate pastor. He said, "Here's what's going on." I said, "I figured that." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "It's what you're going to do." I said, "Okay, we're great friends," but he was pastor too. He said, and I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to talk to him." And I said, "Do I have the freedom to talk to him?" He said, "Sure." So anyway, we met right over there in the room and what was going on, and I was telling him, said, look, we're glad you're here, and I'd already talked to several people, and we're glad you're here, but it has come to our attention that you are forcefully pushing people to go down, and I said, we can't do that anymore, and they said, "We haven't done that," and I said, "Okay," I said, "Have you got a few minutes?" He said, "Yeah." Him and her both. I said, "You got a few minutes?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I got about 10 people standing outside ready to come in and give witness to what I just told you. We don't need to talk anymore." I said, "Okay." I said, "You can minister, but you can't minister that way anymore. Pray for people, but don't push them. Don't push them. If they fall, it's because of God, not because of you." And then they said, "Well, I think our time here has ended." And I said, "Oh, I'm not telling you to do that, but if that's the way it must be, that's the way it must be." I said, "Before you go, I need to go get the pastor." So I went and told the pastor. The pastor looked at me. He said, "You did talk to him, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did. Told them the truth, loved them, told them the truth, and welcomed them to minister the way they need to, but don't manipulate people." He said, "I'm good with that." So he goes in and talks to them and escorts them out the door. Now, I didn't volunteer for that kind of stuff. Y'all hearing me? I didn't say, "Sign me up for ministry. I want to confront people." I didn't sign up for that. But when that happens, what must we do? Stand in the power of God, witness to them, give them the truth, love on them, and give them the answers, and then let's see how it happens. And what happened was they weren't willing to repent. Y'all okay? All right. So that's the reason I'm telling you today. I just gave you three small, really, examples of my life, but there's a ton more, a lot more. That the power of God, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowered me to be able to do things at that moment that I was sent to do something. And Brother Eric talked last week about grace, the empowerment of grace to walk out what he's told us to do. And so you've heard the word of God in a lot of different ways. But one thing I do believe God is telling us, he is not looking for mediocre Christians. He is not looking for mediocre followers. He's looking for followers that are passionate about who he is and about who we are inside him and about following Jesus every step of the way. No matter what we encounter, if it's a witch, you hear me? He said, I've given you the Holy Spirit to be able to bring forth what needs to come forth in that moment. Amen? How many of you today would say, Pastor, I want that baptism? Some of you have already had it. Some of you have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you hadn't. How many of you want that today? If you want that today, I want you to stand. Everybody stand up. If you want that today and you say, that's me. That word's for me today. I want you to leave your seat and I want you to come up front. Leave your seat and come up front. Anybody? Anybody? God bless you. God bless you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Come on up. Come on up. Amen. Come on up. Come on, get closer. Get in closer. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. First timer. Glad to have you. So good to have you. This thing is just take in. He said, you shall receive power after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after the Spirit has come upon you. So y'all ready? Y'all ready? So look, don't look for something big. Don't look for a manifestation. Don't look for anything. Just receive. Just take in what he's given. Amen. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you, God, that their recognition of their need has come to them. And the fulfillment of that need has also come to them. So right now, today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, pour out your Spirit upon them. Let them receive. Let them take in your baptism, Jesus. Your ability to be able to operate in a power way beyond theirs. And if you're in the audience and you're ready as well, stick your hand up. Baptize me now, Lord. Baptize me now. I'm yours and you're mine. Use me. Set the course of my life to glorify you. Let your power run through my veins in such a way that you will get full credit, full honor of what you're doing in my life. I thank you. I worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Receive. You have received. You've taken it in. Taken that in. And now you're being sent out. Remember this day. Remember this day, and the next time that you run across something that is requiring of you power that you don't have. Remember this day and understand, wait a minute, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gives me power. We can handle this. Amen. Give him a shout. Give him glory. Give him a shout. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Terry.
Praise the Lord. I think the word power means dynamite, dumos, right? Boom. Dunamis, that's right. It reminds me of that show from the 70s where J.J. went in during good times, went, dynamite. Anyway, so listen, folks, we got a lot of great things going on before you leave for lunch. Real quick, VBS is tonight. It starts at 6. Bring your friends, your family, your foes. Bring them all out. And be praying for strength for the volunteers, because this is always, year after year, a huge harvest. There's so many kids that come to know the salvational knowledge of Christ during this, seriously. And so be praying for the volunteers, because guess what happens when God's work's going on? The enemy's not asleep, and he's putting things in front of our volunteers and everything. It's all week, year after year. So be praying for them, because God's got grace on them, and God's gave them power. And so we want to make sure that we lift them up in prayer. This is very important. Friday, this coming Friday, 10 a.m., we need, how many in here has got a back? Everybody in here got a back? We need some anointed backs, because we got to do teardown this Friday at 10 a.m., okay? So we need about 20 people to come help and remove the FLC and get it cleaned up for the next service. There will be no Wednesday night service this week. So because of VBS going on, oh, Eric, come on. All of that. Real quickly, for prayer request, we had a prayer request come in during the message. Dawn Collier's father has been brought to ICU, and he's got some infections going on. He's on a defibrillator, so we want to lift him up in prayer, okay, as we do that as well. Is there anything else I'm missing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the Pentecostal power that's flowing in our veins as your Holy Spirit comes upon us and we're sent out to do your work. And we ask for special healing on Don's father right now, that you would just come in that ICU room right now and touch him, Lord, in a very powerful and meaningful way. We pray for our VBS ministry this week. We pray for the volunteers this week. We pray for what you're doing in our church this week. And we just ask you to give us the power to walk out your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, we got a lot of other things going on, too many to announce. This right here, this fancy QR code, they're all over the church. Just take your phone out. Open up your photo app or your camera app. Just scan it. You'll see all kinds of announcements that's going on, because we got so many that's going on. But just stay contacted right there and connected right there, because that'll let you know more of what's going on, okay? Okay? Is it going to be a great week? All right. Blessings. You're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.